Welcome to the Autoimmune Connections podcast. I'm your host, Tammy Anderson of ThrivingPrimallyWellness.com. I'm an adventure enthusiast, a survivor of an autoimmune health crisis, and a certified functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner who helps people who are struggling with chronic health conditions rebuild their health and reclaim their lives. I have created Autoimmune Connections to bring you hope and to empower you to take control of your own health and become the healthiest, happiest version of you. Each week, I will bring you the stories of real people who struggled with long-term chronic health issues or autoimmune conditions, who reclaimed their health and their lives by making changes to their diet and lifestyle after being failed by the conventional medicine sick care model. On occasion, I will bring you experts in the health and wellness space, often people who themselves reclaimed their health and their lives from the brink of disaster by taking their health into their own hands. The content of this show is for general informational purposes only and is not intended to serve as a substitution for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or to treat or cure any illness or medical condition. I will end each episode with a weekly nudge, or in other words, a little nudge of encouragement to try something new that will move you towards improved health. Happy journeys, everyone, and enjoy the show. Hey there. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Autoimmune Connections podcast. Today with me on the show, I have Nancy McQuiston, who I have actually known for over 25 years since we ran high school cross country together way back in the day. Nancy's 42 years old, a registered nurse who works as an administrative supervisor, and is the mom of three awesome girls. Today on the show, Nancy is going to share with us her rather horrific story of being injured after receiving a mandatory flu vaccination. Nancy, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for being willing to come on here and share this very sensitive story about a topic I know you are incredibly passionate about.
Thank you for having me, Tammy.
So, Nancy, you have a really interesting story that involves pretty decent health until you are injured from a vaccine. So could you tell our listeners the background of, you know, what was going on, like when you had the vaccine and how your health spiraled downward after the vaccine and kind of what that journey has looked like since then?
Of course. It was November 14th, 2011. I was working as a nursing supervisor, and in the facility I was working in, we were required to get the influenza vaccination, or if we declined, we'd have to wear a mask. And I had just gotten over a cold. I had a little bit of a stuffy nose. Of course, they tell you not to get the vaccination if you have a fever, which I didn't have. I had put it off as long as I could. I just had a little bit of a feeling that I shouldn't be getting the shot. But I went ahead under the pressure of the employee health nurse and got the shot. Within about 4 hours, my skin started feeling like I had a sunburn all over, just really sensitive. Then within about 24 hours, my ears started ringing and I developed permanent tinnitus, and that never went away.
Within about, you still have that to this day?
Mm-hmm. I still have that to this day.
Wow.
Within about 36 hours, my hands, my feet, my hips on both sides started aching and hurting. And that over the course of a year got worse. I ended up having to modify how I slept, and I ended up having to buy one of the nice thick feather pillow toppers for your mattress, fold that over and sleep on top of that, just to be able to get some sleep for maybe 2 hours on a side at a time. Then the pain would be so bad in my hips and they'd be so red, I'd have to turn over to the other side. So I didn't sleep well on top of everything else.
Wow. So was it like joint pain in your hips that you were experiencing?
It was hard to explain. It seemed to be in the tissues themselves. But over the joints, when I was sleeping, within 15 minutes of laying on a side, they would turn bright red.
Wow. So you could actually see the redness.
Correct. Yes.
Wow. That's amazing. Okay. So this is at 36 hours, your hips are in pain. When did you figure out that it was the vaccine that was the cause of this? Was it right away?
It was right away. I think when you have a reaction to something within 4 hours, like I did, you're able to pin it and track it back to what caused it, whether it be a food allergy or exposure to a toxin. This was so pronounced and so rapid and so fast that there was no doubt in my mind what caused it. However, there was doubt in my medical doctor's mind. So I went through all kinds of lab work, all kinds of testing. Everything came back negative, everything. It didn't show any inflammation in my body at all. So that was what helped kind of track it back to the vaccine in their minds and say, yeah, you probably should never get another influenza vaccination again.
So it was only after, despite the fact that your reaction happened within 4 hours of receiving the vaccination, your doctors wouldn't be convinced that that's what caused it until they had put you through an entire battery of testing. And what did that testing involve that they put you through?
So they did a basic complete blood count, which tests your white blood cell count, which a lot of times when that is elevated, that shows inflammation. They did what's called a sedimentation rate, which was not elevated. C-reactive protein will show inflammation in the body. That was negative. So when those things came back negative, I was referred to a rheumatologist. She did further testing for rheumatoid arthritis factor. It's called RA factor. Antinuclear antibody testing, that was negative. Also, Sjogren's syndrome kind of appeared about 2 years later in me, just the symptoms of it, not necessarily a diagnosis of it, but the dry eye, the dry mouth, the Sicca syndrome. It just seemed to be a really long evolving process. I was just getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And so I was tested for SSA and SSB, which are antibodies. Those were negative as well. And they looked at my joints. My joints, they said, looked fine. They suggested maybe, the rheumatologist suggested maybe I had fibromyalgia, but I didn't have the typical symptoms or tenderness points associated with fibromyalgia, and I had no elevated lab inflammation markers.
So you're having all of these symptoms, and you're being tested for all of these different things through the medical community. Everything's
spending a lot of money.
Yeah, everything's coming back negative. And so the doctors finally concede that, you know, potentially this was a vaccine injury.
Potentially. That's as much as they would give me, yes. Potentially.
Exactly. I mean, and I think that it's important to highlight here that your profession, you are in the medical profession as a nurse. And so you are in a profession that, you know, you are trained that vaccines are the way to go. And that everybody should be getting the vaccine, all the vaccines. And so this really is counterintuitive, right, to what you have been learning your entire training, and also counterintuitive to what your colleagues, your nursing friend colleagues, you know, your doctor friend colleagues, right, all of them believe and have been taught. So this must have had a fairly strong impact on, you know, your day-to-day operations with your career. So tell us a little bit about that.
It absolutely did. I was a nurse that fully believed in everything Western medicine taught. I was indoctrinated with it in my training as a nurse and at work. I just accepted what I was told. Because, hey, this is Western medicine. We save people's lives every day. We don't hurt people. Well, I woke up the day that I was vaccinated to the fact that we do hurt people sometimes. And just as there are side effects listed for every medication, you see it, they're long. They cover every possible side effect. You see them particularly during the Super Bowl, during the commercials. There's a lot of pharmaceutical ads, and they go through almost like an auctioneer, you know, as quickly as they can what the side effects might be. And there needs to be definitely more education on what could happen when you have a vaccine reaction or a reaction to a medication so that you are given true informed consent, so that if you do have a reaction, you know what to do and also what to ask to have done, what kind of testing to have done, because doctors don't always know to recognize a vaccine reaction for what it is and test correctly for it.
Absolutely. So you have really become a strong advocate for vaccine education. And I know that I've seen a lot of the things that you've put out on social media to really, you're behind the scenes, you're really pushing hard to get that information out there to people, because the information that people are getting from their family physician when they take their child in for their routine checkup or whatever it might be is not the complete story, you know, as you learned. And there is a fair amount of indoctrination that goes on that doesn't give us the full picture. And you're right. I was talking to somebody about this the other day, the whole advertising that goes on with the pharmaceutical medications. You know, you sit down and watch just a half hour show, and when the commercials come on, every single round of commercials will have at least one advertisement for pharmaceutical medications or vaccines. And there is this long list of all of the potential side effects. But here's the wonderful things that it can do for you, right?
Right.
So tell us about how your health spiraled after, you know, the initial 36 hours. You went in a little bit about not being able to sleep, but how did this impact, you know, how you were able to live your daily life, your interaction with your families, just your life in general?
My quality of life definitely took a downturn after my reaction. Basically, to sum it up in a nutshell, trying to ride a bike would leave me in pain in my hips for days. So I stopped riding a bike. Riding on the back of my husband's motorcycle, just balancing, would leave me in pain for days. Going upstairs would be extremely painful, and I would have to avoid stairs for days after. So exercise for me was extremely painful, extremely difficult, but I was able to continue elliptical exercise on the elliptical machine, some light weights, walking, but my quality of life just wasn't what it was. And over the course of the year, the pain got worse. In about a year or two, I developed the dry eyes and dry mouth that I spoke of. And there really just wasn't any answer to what was causing this. I felt like personally, there wasn't any end to this. And I was just going to get worse and worse until potentially becoming so sick that I died at a young age, leaving my girls behind and my husband behind. So I became very depressed as well.
Of course. You know, I think this doesn't get out there very much, but depression goes hand in hand with chronic illness. Anytime there's chronic illness involved, depression becomes involved because you begin to have these feelings of hopelessness.
Absolutely. I was completely hopeless. And going to the doctor didn't give me any answers, and I didn't want to take pain medication, especially not pain, prescribed pain medication. It always makes me sick, nauseous. It would make me feel worse. I didn't want to take muscle relaxers because of the known side effects, such as constipation, just feeling groggy in the morning. Then you get caught up with having to take something for the constipation. So it's just this revolving door of medicating and side effects and treating the side effects, and I had no interest in that pathway. So I decided to go to my husband's chiropractor about a year after my injury. It was extremely painful. The treatments were 3 times a week, but I did get relief from that slowly over the course of 2 years. I felt like I could start exercising again, riding a bike again, going upstairs again. So that did help quite a bit, not 100%, but it did give me some quality of life back.
So you were going, if I understood this correctly, you had to go to the chiropractor 3 times a week for 2 years?
I did. Initially, it was 3 times a week. Then it was 2 times a week. It was rare. I could only make it on 1 time a week before the pain would come back.
That's a huge commitment. That's a huge commitment of time and financial resources as well. Mm-hmm. So you tried the chiropractic. Were there any other treatments that you looked into and tried that were not effective or were effective?
I did try some physical therapy. That did help, but it was extremely painful. As you can imagine, the physical therapist was working on getting my hips to release, basically the muscles, the hip flexors to release. And so there was a lot of pressure put in those areas, and it would bring me to tears. It wasn't pleasant at all. It did help some. But the chiropractic was really where I got most of my relief. Eventually, though, I ran into a TED Talks. I don't know if you watch TED Talks. They're great.
Sometimes. Yeah, they're great.
But have you heard of Dr. Terry Walls?
Of
she has a TED
course
Talks
I have. She's
there.
Actually, I just interviewed her for my podcast.
That's fabulous.
Yeah,
that's
so she'll fabulous. Be on the show. Yeah.
That's how I heard about her, was a TED Talks called Minding Your Mitochondria, where she talked about modifying your diet to achieve optimal health, as she did. Of course, as you know, she was diagnosed as an internal medicine doctor with multiple sclerosis, tried all the conventional treatments. She was progressing and getting worse, and she changed her diet. And now I believe she has a study that she's conducting that's being funded in order to prove that this works for multiple sclerosis patients, so it can be part of the treatment. But now it's made it out into the world that this helps autoimmune disease, any type of inflammatory process. So I started implementing things with my diet that she suggests, things like seaweed, kelp, nutritional yeast, fermented foods, 3 cups of leafy greens a day, 3 cups of colored vegetables and fruits a day, 3 cups of sulfur-containing vegetables a day, cabbage, broccoli. And that really made a big difference for me. I wasn't as dedicated to her diet as I could have been, but I did see a big improvement with following her diet, and it did make me a believer that diet is a great part of the battle of getting back to good health.
Yes, it absolutely is, and that's what I was going to ask you. So prior to stumbling upon Dr. Terry Walls' Minding Your Mitochondria TED Talk, you, like we said before, you came from the conventional medicine world. You worked in the conventional medicine world, surrounded by this, indoctrinated with this. So what were your preconceived notions about using food as medicine and changing lifestyle habits for healing prior to this exposure? Did you think it was just a bunch of woo-woo, or, you know, what was your thinking there?
I didn't put much stock into it, honestly. I thought, you know, the food pyramid basically is all a person needed, and vitamins weren't that necessary either. I thought, but what I found is that, as I said, diet is probably 90% of wellness.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. How long was it after you started implementing Dr. Wall's suggested food intake that you started seeing some improvement in your health?
Maybe a week or 2 weeks. It was fast. It was really fast.
That's amazing. Yeah. So when I made my dietary changes, this has been years ago now, and I was really sick, my improvements were really pretty miraculously quick too. Within 30 days, I was transformed. It's amazing. So you talked about some of the changes that you made in diet recommended by Dr. Walls. Were there any lifestyle changes that you made in regards to mindset kinds of things that kind of put you in the space to allow your body to heal?
Yes. Quite honestly, within the last 2.5 months, I've started seeing a naturopath doctor, Dr. Brett Butterfield, and he has been using the modality called total body modification. But a lot of your initial treatment involves dietary changes, very strict dietary changes. And that is completely eliminating all sugar from your diet, except for 2 types, Sucanat and Rapadura, which I had never heard of before. So that was a trial trying to find those items. And the first week of not having sugar was extremely hard. It's like withdrawing from anything, but very powerful. They say that the addiction to sugar is equal to that of, I believe, cocaine or heroin.
Yeah. And sugar is only one molecule off of the cocaine.
Is it? I did not know that.
Yeah.
Also eliminating grains from my diet completely. If I had to have some grain, I could have 2 pieces of sprouted bread toast, and that was it. Incorporating, now this was really hard, incorporating liver once a week into my diet, incorporating offal, which looks like it's spelled offal, but it's other organ meats, into my diet once every 2 weeks. So lamb kidney, thymus, pancreas, those types of things. Brains, some people will do that. I haven't quite got there yet.
Yeah, I know Dr. Terry Wells really, that's a huge part of her program is organ meat.
She does.
There's
absolutely.
So much nutrition in organ meat.
Yep.
So
that was another
part of his program too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. And another thing was rice. I could have rice, but I would have to brown it first and then cook it. And that's something that they do in other cultures a lot. But in the American diet, we want things fast. We don't brown our rice first. And that has something to do with, I think, breaking down the anti-nutrients in the rice. If I were to have beans, just like Dr. Wallace says, I would have to sprout them first.
Right.
To help with some of those anti-nutrients, you know, breaking those down so that they don't promote inflammation within the body. Drinking a lot of water, 0.6 ounces per pound of body weight per day, was a big adjustment too. So that was something I had to get used to, carrying water with me everywhere I went.
Yeah. But when, you know, when you're in this state of such misery and your hope is hanging by a thread and just, you know, you get to this point where you'll do anything.
Absolutely.
I used to say to people that, you know, I would go outside in a snowstorm naked and howl at the moon if somebody told me that was going to make me better.
Absolutely. I was desperate for help. I was desperate to get well again. I did finally learn meditation under Dr. Butterfield's treatment, which I had always struggled with before. Anytime I sat down to meditate, I wanted to come out of my skin. I didn't want to do it. I felt very anxious about it. It just wasn't anything that I could really relax enough to do. But this was different. I was able to do it in the morning. I was able to do it in the night. And it really did help center me and ground me and allow me to relax and think more evenly. And I think that also has a big deal to do with your healing, is learning to listen to your body through meditation.
Absolutely. Mindset is such a huge piece of a person being able to heal their body, because if you're not in the right frame of mind, with the correct mindset, if you don't believe you can heal, you can't heal, right? So that mindset is huge, and I think really misunderstood and underappreciated.
Exactly. So, I agree with you.
Yeah. So I have, you know, the last several months started meditating as well, and you didn't ever think that I could do it before, but you know, just like anything that you learn how to do well, it takes practice, right? And that's why they call it a meditation practice, because you have to practice at something in order to get good at it. So you can't sit down and try to meditate one time and say, oh, no, I can't do this. I'm not good at meditation. Of course you're not good at meditation. You only tried it once for 5 minutes.
Exactly.
Right?
Right.
So you decided, you never went the prescription medication route for any of these problems that you were having, any of your symptoms?
The only thing that I took now and then was an Advil or a Tylenol, which really didn't stop the pain. The pain was still there. I didn't like to take it, so I didn't take it very much. But when I did, it was because the pain was so bad that I couldn't make it through my work day. I still worked 12 and a half hour shifts that I had to make it through.
Wow. So it's really interesting. It sounds to me like sort of innately, you had an understanding that there needed to be a more holistic approach to your healing, despite the fact that you were conventionally trained. Because you mentioned earlier that you didn't want to take any pain medication. You didn't want to take, you know, any of the, you know, pharmaceutical kinds of treatments that were being offered to you by the doctors, despite the fact that that's the field that you're coming from. You're coming from a field that prescribes medication to treat ailments. So what are your thoughts on that? You think that was kind of always there? I mean, you yourself are in this role where prescription medications are being sort of farmed out all around you, but you're not willing to take them yourself as a practitioner. So I thought that was a little interesting.
I grew up with a mother who did not believe in using prescription medication or pain medication, if possible. The most that she would give us when we were little was an aspirin, which now we know to avoid for children under 18 because of the risk of Reye syndrome with giving aspirin with flu-like symptoms in children. Right. But she avoided doctors as much as possible. She always said, "I don't want to open up a can of worms."
Interesting.
So it was interesting that I went into nursing in the first place.
That's what I'm thinking.
Being raised in a home like that. But I sure thought that I knew everything when I was a nurse. And until my injury, I didn't think any differently.
Yeah, things really came full circle for you. So you're still in this role where you're working. You work in a medical facility as an administrator. How does your newfound awareness impact your interactions with your colleagues?
Well, that's a very good question, because I have to operate within my scope of practice as a nurse. So I cannot speak to anything outside that scope of practice without potentially jeopardizing my job. So honestly, my personal experience, my personal beliefs of medical care are quite separated from what I actually do, which I think does take its toll, because I do see things at work that I don't agree with personally, but I kind of have to put that on a shelf unless the opportunity arises for maybe a one-on-one conversation where somebody's actually asking my personal opinion. But I still have to separate that from my professional opinion.
Wow, that must be really hard.
Very challenging.
I can't imagine. That's an interesting pair of shoes to be in. I can't imagine doing that day to day and seeing things on a daily basis that you know are just not right and harmful, and just having to zip your lips and not say anything about it. So tell me, you've been working with your naturopathic doctor for a few months now. You know, you've made a lot of dietary changes. You've started taking up the practice of meditation. Where are you with your health now in comparison to where you started with your symptoms spiraled out of control?
I rarely have pain, just now in the last 2.5 months. After chiropractic treatments, I would have pain. It would come back probably after about 2 years of chiropractic treatments. It was sporadic, and maybe 3 times a year I would have that pain almost as bad as when it began. But in the last 2.5 months since seeing Dr. Butterfield and really committing to diet, really committing to meditation and exercise, I am nearly pain-free. My mind is clear. I'm resting better. I don't have horrible gut pain anymore. I don't have heartburn anymore. That was something that I did have to take medication for, was heartburn. I was on Prevacid for a couple of years. But after starting the Walls protocol, I was able to wean off of that. And I would have occasional heartburn, but now it's completely gone through probably diet modification and other techniques used in total body modification. It's a very interesting system that treats the whole person, that really looks at the individual to find out the true cause of their illness.
Absolutely. That's what I do as a functional health coach, is I help my clients figure out what the root cause of their symptoms is, so that I can help guide them using diet and lifestyle modification, along with really targeted supplements, to help them, you know, facilitate the healing process and really get at what is causing their problems, rather than just putting those, we call, band-aids on symptoms.
Absolutely. And what you're doing is what people are now seeking out more and more, because people are truly waking up and realizing Western medicine isn't working for them. They're getting sicker. It isn't addressing the root cause of their illness. It's giving them band-aids through medications and westernized treatment. But they want answers. They want to know, why are they this way? What can they do to fix the problem so they don't have to live like this their entire lives, miserable, medicated, with side effects?
Exactly. And every medication that you take, like you mentioned earlier, causes another symptom, you know, and now you're taking a medication for chronic constipation or skin issue that happened because of the medication. So it becomes this vicious cycle of, you know, medications. And before you know it, you're on 9 different medications or more. And, you know, absolutely. Western medicine absolutely has its place. It's really designed for emergency ambulatory care, right? So if I'm in a serious car accident, or if one of my kids has a sports injury on the field, get them to the emergency room and help them out. But it's not designed for these chronic types of issues that we are dealing with in our modern world because of the fast-paced lifestyle where, like you mentioned earlier, when you made your dietary changes, it involved a lot of planning, right? And you're not used to that. Most of us are not used to that. We're used to grabbing things off the shelf that come in a package, throwing them in a pan with some water and turning it to boil, right? So we're not used to having to plan our meals, and it's just something that needs to be relearned. So now that you are living relatively pain-free and, you know, you're having very rare bouts of pain, how is your life different?
Well, I've discovered hot yoga in the last 2.5 months when I thought I could never do it. And I have flexibility and energy that I never thought I could have because I don't have this pain stopping me from living my life. I feel like I have a new lease on life. And I feel like I can do things that I never thought I would be able to do again. I'm 42, a mother of 3, and I want to be there for my girls, and I want to do things with them. I want to go hiking with them. I want to go camping with them. And I even want to go skydiving with them if someday they decide they want to do that. And now I feel so excited and so optimistic about life. This opened up a whole new door, whole new chapter in my life that I thought I would never get a chance at having. So I'm really excited and just truly thankful.
It's amazing. It's given you an entirely new lease on life. And I can imagine when you're feeling better too, your interactions with your girls is probably different. You probably have more energy, more patience. You know, did you find that your parenting was suffered when you weren't feeling well as well?
Oh, absolutely. As we all know, when we're not feeling well, we're cranky. We don't feel like we have the energy to do things with our friends or our family that they are wanting to go out and do. So that bonding time that you have with your friends or family is cut down on, and you become isolated. And that contributes to the depression that we talked about. My energy has skyrocketed. So now when my kids want to go to the park, or they want to go to jump time and jump in the bouncy houses or go bowling, I feel like I have that energy. And I'm like, yeah, let's go have fun. Let's go out in the sun. Let's go play. And I'm so much more positive.
Yeah. And it must just be awesome for your girls too. I mean, for you as the parent, it's awesome. I get to spend this quality time with my kids. But from your kids' perspective, my mom is just this new person now. That must just be awesome for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do recognize it.
So you really came from the conventional medicine world, and being in the position you were, you had access really to the best healthcare out there. You knew what to research, what to go for, what specialists to see. And none of those options helped you or gave you any relief whatsoever.
None whatsoever. Absolutely. None whatsoever.
And what gave you the relief finally was making radical changes to your diet and lifestyle with some mindset, doing exercise that was right for your body. Yeah.
Yes.
That's the message that I really want to get out to people, that there is hope, and, you know, there is another way to heal your body. And, you know, people, no matter what their lot is and what, you know, what position they are, how long they've been sick, don't give up hope. There is another way out there. So tell us, I know you do a lot of work with vaccination education. Tell our listeners some of the projects that you're working on, or some of the projects that you're interested in sharing about that maybe aren't your projects, but that you know are making a difference in the world.
Sure, of course. Well, here in Idaho, we have a group called Health Freedom Idaho, and I am involved with that group. The executive director is Misty Carlfelt from the Carlfelt Center, which is a holistic center. And she is involved, and her members of her executive committee are involved in presenting legislation that will help preserve our medical freedoms in Idaho, which right now are really good. As I mentioned earlier, you know, we have all those exemptions, those three full exemptions from vaccinations. And we are primarily a Republican state, so we're primarily conservative. The less government regulation, the better is still kind of the motto here in the state. We have people coming even from California, where, as you know, SB 277 forced vaccination, mandatory vaccination for all school children, public and private, has been enforced with very, very rare exemptions given. So there are quite a few Californians moving into this area because they recognize that Idaho still has those preserved medical rights, and they can become active in our state in helping preserve those rights. So I welcome them.
That's awesome. So what are, do you happen to know what the exemptions are in California that might get relief people of the mandatory vaccinations?
It's, yes, of course. It's a medical exemption only, no religious exemption accepted, no philosophical exemption accepted. And it has to be granted by a pediatrician. And if the pediatricians do grant a medical exemption, they do get pressure in California from the health department, and they are scrutinized, and some are at risk for losing their jobs. So there's this culture that's come from this SB 277, this mandatory vaccination bill that's passed, that's becoming quite oppressive there. So it's very difficult to get any kind of a medical exemption, which is, again, is why parents are moving out of the state, because some parents choose not to vaccinate, or they want to selectively vaccinate, or vaccinate on a more spaced out schedule. And that's not allowed in California. It's not reasonable at all.
So doing the vaccinations on a single vaccination basis, mm-hmm. so that a potential reaction can be more easily identified, would that be the reason for that?
Correct. And just to cut down on the toxin load to the child. But some vaccines don't even come in single dose. They come grouped together, as you probably know. That's the only option. And so,
Do you foresee a change in that anytime soon?
Not anytime soon, no. But there are groups such as Nurses Against Mandatory Vaccinations. I'm friends with Michelle Routon James, who is on their executive board. She's amazing. You can see many interviews with her. You can look her up. She'll speak. She's a nurse practitioner. She'll speak for the right to vaccine choice. And there's quite a bit of support groups out there that you can find. It's not too hard to find anymore with Facebook and people that just believe in medical freedom and being able to choose treatment in the way they want to choose it. There's very many people that you can find your own kind of a clan almost, or group of people who believe as you do and share information and ideas. And that's really important in this day and age, to be able to feel like you have support in your choices, your healthcare choices.
Absolutely. And you're not just have support, but you're able to access your own brain and use your own thinking rather than the indoctrination that you've been brought up in.
Absolutely. We've all been given a brain to think with. We need to use it, and we need to follow our instincts and our intuition, because what happens when we don't? Usually something bad happens.
Exactly. You got it. So before we sign off here, are there any, if some of my listeners were interested in learning more about, you know, vaccine education, where would be some places that you might direct them to?
The National Vaccine Information Center, NVIC, would be a great start. They have a lot of information. I think that's probably the best place.
Awesome. And that is at NVIC.org?
I believe so.
Okay. I'll make sure that I put that in the show notes, as well as the other resources that you've listed, so that if my listeners are interested in investigating and doing their own learning on this topic, they certainly have some resources that they can look at.
Yes, so, and each state usually does have some pretty prominent group. I know Texas has Texans for Vaccine Choice, if there's any Texans listening.
Okay, I'm sure there are. Hopefully there will be. So awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today, Nancy, and telling us your story of vaccine injury and how you overcame it. I really think that the more stories that we get out there of different types of people overcoming different types of situations, the more people we can help in this world. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, folks. Thanks again for tuning in. Wow. Nancy really had just an amazing story of not only the crisis that unfolded when she was injured by the vaccine, but her journey and her tenacious battle to get back to good health after that injury. If you or someone you know has been or thinks they may have been injured by vaccine, I encourage you to check out the links that I have added to the show notes that came from Nancy's recommendations. And closing out with a weekly nudge, in today's episode, Nancy talks about two foods that she incorporated into her diet as part of her recovery from her vaccine damage. The first was organ meats, including liver, kidney, brain, and heart. And the other was fermented vegetables, such as sauerkraut, kimchi, or other fermented vegetables, such as carrots or beets. I personally incorporate fermented veggies into my diet on a regular basis. On a daily basis, actually, I eat something fermented pretty much every day. So both of these foods were part of a traditional human diet and have been eaten by most cultures for centuries. So for today's weekly nudge, to nudge you towards improved health and vitality, I encourage you to add one or both of these foods into your diet on a weekly basis and see how it makes you feel. That's all for now, everybody. Have a great week. I'll see you next time. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Autoimmune Connections podcast. Because I am truly grateful and honored to have you as my listener, I will be doing a giveaway at the start of episode 9. Two lucky winners will receive a copy of Rob Wolf's new book, Wired to Eat, and two winners will receive a copy of Dr. Terry Walls' amazing new cookbook, The Walls Protocol, Cooking for Life. To enter this giveaway, I am asking you to do two things. One, leave me a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever podcast site you're listening on. I look forward to hearing your feedback. Your reviews really do help and will help me achieve my goal of making it to the top of the charts and make the new and noteworthy section on iTunes. This in turn will help me reach and impact more people who are suffering from chronic health conditions or autoimmune diseases. And two, visit my website, thrivingprimallywellness.com, and leave me your email to claim your free gift of a comprehensive, color-coded food list that I have developed that you can use to get started on improving your health right away, and also so that I can update you on upcoming podcast episodes and blogs, and where you can find some links to some of my favorite things. Finally, you can find links to all of the weekly shows on my website, thrivingprimallywellness.com. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you next week.